From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio, this is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, the new home of the Chicago White Sox, ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Boom, 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 boom.
Tell everyone what the buyout is.
$8 million a year, according to Dan Pompey. In his article, The Athletic, says here, the Bears also would have to buy out their Soldier Field lease at the cost of $8 million a year, and infrastructure upgrades would be required. That is pocket change in the grand scheme of things, and could be a built-in. Because as Dan also describes very well in the article, like, you could sell, because the Bears don't have the financial capacity to finance the stadium on their own. Like, they could raise probably $1 billion or $2 billion by selling a portion of the team, or let's say $1 billion, and still maintain controlling interest, 51% or greater. You can raise a ton of money, and I guarantee you that there will be people lined up to actually buy in like that.
Yes.
And part of selling that portion of the equity in return to help finance the construction and the infrastructure, you could just build in that $8 million a year to the price of what you're going to sell that 25% equity stake of the team to whoever that buyer would be, whether it's Pat Ryan or Andy McKenna or whoever that would be.
So that's why I find it funny that Lori Lightfoot is flexing her political muscle, saying they're bound by a lease.
$8 million a year.
It's $8 million a year, and if a new stadium wouldn't be ready for 5 years or whatever it is, you're only buying out 5 or 6 years. I mean, think about all the bad investments the Bears have made. They paid Mike Glennon $18 million. Yeah. That gets them out of 2 years of a Bears lease.
2 years plus.
Think how easy it is for that in their world. Buying out the lease would be.
If you sold 25% of the team to help finance the new stadium, wherever that stadium would be, instead of charging $1 billion, charge $1 billion, $8 million.
Yes.
You build in the cost to pay the city.
You roll it in.
Yes. I mean, sure. It's silly.
Yeah. Let's talk to Adam Amin. Adam does great work, obviously, for Fox. He is obviously the voice of the Bulls and has the Bears preseason game. So he's a great friend of ours. He joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Adam, how the heck are you?
Oh, everything is great. I mean, $1 billion here, $8 million there. It all adds up to real money at some point.
What's $8 million in a transaction that's $1 billion plus? Nothing.
It's like, what, point? You know, I'm not even going to pretend that I know the mathematics of it. But, like, that's the thing. Like, this stuff is so far out of our realm of understanding in terms of the financial aspect of it, the money aspect, the numbers aspect of it. It's enough to make your head explode trying to figure all this out right now.
All right, so here's what I want to hear from you. As a guy who does – there's Adam Amin, pro broadcaster on Fox. He's interviewing Tom Brady in the production meetings. But you're also a Chicago sports fan who lives in the city currently, and you're the voice of the Bears in the preseason. What would you say to the Bears moving out of the city?
I personally like the Bears here. I think there is something to having the city be the true backdrop of a team that is supposed to unite and kind of, you know, connect all the aspects of the city. I think for an NFL team that plays 8 times a year, I can understand why any spot will do, because fans will go pretty much anywhere for a football game. Just the value of games is so much higher. You know, one NFL game is worth 10 MLB games, right? So what's a trip to Arlington Heights if you live in Villa Park? What's a trip to Chicago one time a year if you live in the suburbs and want to go to the city and watch a game? So I understand both aspects of it. For me personally, I like the city as the backdrop to kind of unite everybody. I look at Santa Clara, great stadium, right? But the 49ers don't – it feels like at times the connectivity isn't there for the Niners and the city of San Francisco. They're not there. I wonder what the Chargers are going to look like. Remember, there were more fans at Chargers Stadium when it opened up than there were, or more road fans than there were Chargers fans for a lot of those games. It felt like road games for those teams. So I wonder what effect that would have on the connectivity of the city if the Bears were suddenly out of the city and into one very specific suburban area.
It's a fair point. I would suggest, though, that the Patriots fans are just fine packing up the car and driving to Foxborough eight times.
Or Dallas.
Year. Well, when you win the way they have, think that is an important... I agree with you, Tommy, but I think one thing to add to that is, remember, when you're a winning team, you get to do whatever you want. You get to be where you want. You get to sign who you want. The coach gets to say what they want. And when you are in a little bit of this, you know, kind of rebuild process, trying to solidify it and get back to a significant and consistent level of success, then, you know, you don't get to have that same leeway with fans and with the optics of the situation. Yeah. So that's fair, though, Tommy. What you said is absolutely fair.
While we're on the Bears, and then I want to go to some of the Sox because you did their game on Fox, and then also talk some Bulls here. I want to play you this soundbite from Tom Brady. It was from HBO, from the Shop preview. And this is going around right now, and a lot of our listeners think that maybe he was talking about the Bears. He's talking about when he was a free agent a year ago, and he was thinking about Tampa, and then he brought up another team. Take a listen to this.
One of the teams, and they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that mother...
All right, so in case you couldn't understand, he said there was one team, and they weren't interested in the very end. And he said, you're sticking with that MF-er. Do you believe that that's the Bears and Trubisky?
Man, the kind of like pot stirrer in me wants to say yes. And I'm not fully convinced that that's where the front office was leaning towards and making that type of decision. I'm not fully convinced, and that has nothing to do with anything other than a gut feeling about this. I don't know what it is, and I wish I could pinpoint it, and I know fans are probably like, well, whatever. But to me, I don't personally think it is, but I wish it kind of was. To be
honest. I'm with you. I would probably, if I had to vote on it, would vote maybe the 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo, because I believe there was true interest from Tom Brady to go back to the area where he's from and play for the 49ers, and I know they kicked the tires on a potential signing, but they decided to go with Garoppolo.
They were coming off a Super Bowl appearance, right?
Yes. So,
yeah, that would be hilarious, though, if somehow that ended up being the. I mean, whatever the saga ends up being with this current front office, and obviously, I want them to do well. I wish them the best, but like I find it fascinating to see this kind of play out the way it is.
All right, so you saw the Sox over the weekend against Houston. It was not a good series. It was one of their few little issues they've had this year, even with all the injuries. It's really a great story that they haven't had sort of this hurdle until now. Do you believe that anything that happened this weekend is cause for concern?
In the big picture, no. But I think there is something to point to, and that is the injury issue with Madrigal. The Sox clearly have done a very good job producing runs without Jimenez, without Robert. Obviously, you know, Abreu can do it. Anderson, for the most part, has been better than worse. He's been very streaky this year, but he's been better than he has been worse. So that's a good sign. There's a lot of depth in this lineup. Even with injuries, they've proven that there is lineup depth, and that's a key going forward. I mean, deep, going into September, maybe even October. But in this particular span, I think the Madrigal injury is really showing a little bit of weakness right now, because the two-strike hitting that he brought, the quality at-bats that he brought, and then maybe more importantly, and this is not a knock against Danny Mendick, but Danny Mendick wasn't meant to be an everyday second baseman. Nick Madrigal is a first-round pick who is meant to be an everyday second baseman. So I think that is a little bit of an issue right now offensively for this team. But they also ran into one of the best pitching rotations in all of baseball. So to lose to the Astros is not something to hang your head about.
Right.
They still play in the AL Central. It's still a fairly weak division. Minnesota was supposed to be the biggest competition. They've been terrible this year. Cleveland was looking like better competition. They've been banged up. Bieber got hurt. They've had a lot of offensive issues outside of, you know, their top three or four guys. So in the grand scheme of things, no. I think this is still clearly a playoff team. Their rotation outside, you know, this is the first series I can remember in a while, and I'm sure you guys too, where two or three guys had a bad start or a less than par start, a subpar start. It's been very rare to see that for the White Sox this year. So I have very little worry about them in the grand scheme going into September and October, but there are some issues. Maybe Escobar from Arizona is an option to bring in at second base. I know he's a little banged up with a quad issue, but that might be an option to bring in. I think they'll make a move, and I think they'll be okay.
Isn't it a reminder, too, Adam, that baseball magic doesn't last the entirety of the season? It comes and goes. You can see it in spurts, whether it's, you know, it's Mercedes who's now hitting 266. It's Brian Goodwin who steps in and drives in five runs the first time he puts a White Sox uniform on. There's certain regression that will occur over the course of 162 games. And this is just a reminder that they're missing a lot of their very talented players, and the guys that have filled in have done magical things, but there is a limit to the magic.
Yeah, baseball gods are very fickle, as we all know, and I would say it's, and even kind of looking at it from a pragmatic sense, the ceiling for Eloy Jimenez right now is higher than Andrew Vaughn's for the time in terms of what we've seen and their limited action in Major League Baseball, understood. But I think Eloy Jimenez has a higher ceiling for offense than Andrew Vaughn does for the time being. I think you could probably say the same thing for Luis Robert compared to the rest of the center fielders that have stepped in this season. So you're absolutely right. When you lose players like that at a high level, you know, guys who produced major power numbers and great speed and excellent defense in the last two seasons, of course you're going to hurt when you don't have those guys. And I think that's where we look at a team like Houston without Bregman. They're deep right now. I look at Boston. They're very deep offensively. And I think that's what plays out in the pragmatic sense over a long period of time, because you can have that magical run. You can have the Brian Goodwin, the Brian Goodwin game. I think you could have the Grandal walk-off. You can think of and pick out moments, Abreu, Mercedes had a ton of them in that first month and a half, and eventually there has to be something solid behind it. And unless you can find a higher ceiling for a lot of these guys offensively, unless they find their ceilings a little bit higher than maybe expected, if they play beyond maybe what their expectation is, then yes, this is a team that will make a legitimately deep run in a playoff series. And I don't doubt that. I still believe that if they get Robert back, if they get a little healthier, maybe if they make a move at second base, and maybe one reliever to bridge you to the ninth inning, I think this is still a very formidable World Series contender. I don't think that's out of the realm to say. I think it's a World Series contender with a couple of moves, and it's a long way to go. We're not even at the halfway.
Yeah, I'm with you. Nothing that I saw this weekend changed my mind of that in the big picture. Finally, to the Bulls, Adam. You're the voice of the Bulls. We're talking to Adam Amin on the Corona Hotline, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. They did not have a point guard all year. I mean, Satoransky did the best he can. He's a backup point guard. And Kobe tried to be a point guard. We found out that the less he played point guard, the better he was and the better the Bulls were. Can I interest you in Ben Simmons to go with Vooch and LaVine?
So, obviously, you know, I'm sure you guys have already said this. Hard to get a package for Simmons without probably including LaVine. So that, or a Patrick Williams, so that's fair, probably, you know, out of the realm of possibility. So let's think about it in the 2K sense, the NBA 2K sense. Does that work? Does Simmons, LaVine, Vucevic work? I think Simmons and LaVine actually works really well. And that's, but that goes back to what we've talked about for the last year. You need a point guard who doesn't have to be scoring dominant to complement LaVine, to set up LaVine and to let him get into easier spaces so that early in a game for the first three quarters, he doesn't have to exert himself as heavily as maybe he had to this year by doing a lot of ISO in the first, second, third quarters, and then maybe he's a little gassed in the fourth. I think Simmons would be a great pairing for that. I don't think it's a good fit for Vucevic, and not because it wouldn't be a great setup for Vuce, a phenomenal pick-and-pop five-man, but you're going to end up wasting some of his talent in the interior. Because what Ben Simmons does is drive and kick. A lot of what he does is working through congestion to be able to set guys up. You put shooters around him, and this is what Philadelphia did a couple of years ago when they had J.J. Redick. You just let him operate in the middle of the lane. He's so much bigger than everybody else at that position that he passes over guys or sets guys up. That's why he passed up on that easy dunk. He's so used to congestion in the paint that he just passed up a wide-open dunk, and that's more of a confidence issue. I understand, but it's also a little bit of a habit. And I think that ends up neutralizing and mitigating a little bit of what makes Vucevic dangerous. So I don't love the fit with all three of them. I think one or two of those guys together would be a nice tandem. All of that being said, the money that you would have to pay Ben Simmons, I think is too far up for what you're lacking in some of these major fourth quarter moments. And this is not a new thing. It's been fairly well documented, his fourth quarter, I don't even want to say struggles in his career. I want to say his hesitancy in the fourth quarter has been very well documented, not just this year, but in years past. So I'm personally not loving that concept because I don't think it would be the best fit, more so for Vucevic than Levine.
Yeah, that salary is astronomical. Good stuff, Adam. We appreciate it. Get some luck for the Bulls tomorrow, all right?
Appreciate you guys. We'll be throwing salt and all that good stuff that Benny's been doing on Instagram.
Thanks, Adam.
Adam Amin. Tomorrow's the Bulls lottery. And again, their pick is top four protected. So if they do get a top four pick, the Bulls get to keep it. They don't have to send it to Orlando this year. Well, let's continue the Ben Simmons conversation and some really incredible basketball over the weekend, I thought. I thought the drama was spectacular. We'll get into that coming up next.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
More ways to get ESPN 1000 now, not only on your car radio, on ESPN 1000. If you want to check us out now on the FM side, yes, for the first time ever, ESPN 1000 on the FM side at 100.3 HD2. If you have a newer car, the technology that most of us have is the HD radio. You may not know this on the FM side. This is totally free. This isn't like satellite radio. This is not paid for radio. This is on your FM. When you go to 100.3, go up one more click, you know, just scan it, seek, whatever it's called. Go up to 100.3 HD2, and that's where we are as well. So I listened to it on my drive-in today.
Clear, crystal clear.
Carmen and Yurko have never sounded better. Birkin has sounded better because some of his thoughts. He had some weird takes about where the road team's going to stay.
When does the road team dictate policy with regard to where you're building your new stadium?
You can't build a stadium in Arlington Heights. Where are the Packers going to stay? They want to stay downtown.
I stayed in Appleton, Wisconsin when we went to play the Packers.
And then he came up with this doozy today where Merck said, do you think if the Bears build a stadium in Arlington Heights that most of the Bears players would move up north?
Most of the Bears players already live up north.
They've lived up north for years.
I believe when I was playing, I believe Chris Zorich at a time lived downtown. Maybe Tom Thayer may have for a short period of time as well. Everyone lives in the northern suburbs. Who wants to go on that reverse commute early in the morning to get to practice?
Brandon Marshall had a place right over Millennium Park. He was a rarity. Yeah. Cuddy lived up north.
Everybody did.
I see a lot of the Bears up in the northern suburbs. Supposedly Matt Nagy was in a Deerfield baseball field over the weekend. Merkin told us this.
Oh, yeah.
Where his kids were playing in like a travel league championship game. So
living the life of a normal guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, ESPN 1000, 100.3, HD2. And of course, everything's there in the ESPN Chicago app. You want to listen live, do that. Make sure you download it. You want to get the on-demand podcast. Any interview you may have missed, any segment you missed. You want to get Crosstalk Unhinged. We'll be in the studio producing another one midweek this week. And it will all be available for you. Shandon in San Francisco, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Shandon?
How you doing?
Good. We're good.
We're good. So, are we watching the same game trading for Ben Simmons? I mean, the guy didn't take a shot attempt in the fourth quarter in the whole series. I mean, he's utterly worthless. I mean, that's just putting the Bulls backwards in the same mediocrity that they've been in. I mean, Derrick Rose is pretty much the only point guard that we should even be talking about besides drafting one. I'll let you guys take it from there.
I don't have any interest. I don't, personally. I'm no basketball expert, but I find it difficult to believe you can win an NBA championship when your point guard has to sit late in crucial playoff games because you're afraid to put him on the line because he can't make a free throw. And by the way, in a game that has morphed into a three-point shooting contest in a lot of ways, he doesn't even attempt a three-point shot.
It's all in his head. Right. And now sometimes it's more powerful. I mean, you could try to fix it. My only want of Ben Simmons is if you buy low. Like this, CBS tweeted out something too. Not only was Greeny saying it, CBS tweeted trade scenarios, and one was Zach LaVine for Ben Simmons. I'm not trading him. I'm not making Ben Simmons my cornerstone. I believe Ben Simmons, if you fix him, would be a perfect three, especially they need a point guard. You're buying low. You're getting. He was an all-star. Greeny brought this up. He was an all-star this year. Trae Young wasn't. Like, he's been, I think, a three-time all-star in the NBA. The guy's got a ton of talent. The guy can do it. He's a great athlete. My only interest, though, is buying low, and I don't know if you can do that considering how much money he makes. But I'm not giving up any of my top assets. If Daryl Morey says to me, I'm not only taking Kobe White, I've got all this team's offering C.J. McCollum, this team's offering that, then I'm like, I'm out. I'm cool. I'll go to Lonzo Ball, I'll talk about Derrick Rose, I'll talk about someone else.
I'll give you $4.
I'll do the Ted Phillips offer.
Like, you say he can be fixed. And I'm not suggesting he can't, but he's 4 years now into his career, and his approach to the three has remained the same every year. This is not just a 2020-21 problem.
Right.
This is who he is. He's a career 59.7 free throw percent guy. He was 56% in his rookie season, 60, 62, 61.3 in the ensuing 3 years after that. This is who he is. I'm sure he could get in the gym and maybe and talk to a performance coach and have a different perspective on certain things, but he doesn't shoot the three and he's bad at the free throw line.
Doesn't mean he can shoot the three, though. There's a big difference between is he willing to, and I'm not saying he'd be great at it. I really believe that, especially with the mental aspect of the sport being attacked more than ever, that's his problem is that. His problem is not from being not talented in basketball. And I believe that if Ben Simmons, here's what I fear. I fear that the Lakers will do some sort of a sign and trade where they'll trade Schroeder to the 76ers in a sign and trade and maybe Kuzma or someone like that. And they'll get him as their third wheel with AD and LeBron, and then the Lakers will be great again. I fear that the Knicks will get him, and Tom Thibodeau, who made Joakim Noah the centerpiece of an offense, who made some of these backup point guards, C.J. Watson and Nate Robinson, into guys who were doing good things with the Bulls, that he could take them and make him work.
And you may be right. That's a $35 million a year for 4 year project. That's an investment in something that could happen.
Right. And I'm not arguing with you on that.
No,
point.
I know. You mentioned before, I don't think that they're going to trade him for Kobe White. I think they're going to be looking for significantly more than just Kobe White.
I just don't know how they do because of everything you just mentioned.
I know.
Because of $35 million per year for four more years.
Well, you know what it's
going to... Because his unwillingness to shoot in the fourth quarter, he can't make a free throw. He's not even on the floor in the big moments. How are you going to get another cornerstone player for him?
You're probably going to move him for a guy that wants out of a given situation. That I need to get out of here. I don't want to be here anymore. So that team may be willing to trade you something of quality because that guy, as we've seen in the NBA, wants out really badly. That's how that trade probably happens.
Right. Here's a weird
I'm not saying Dame Lillard for Ben Simmons is going to happen.
Like, that's stupid.
Of course it is. But what if Dame Lillard says, I want out? The way and NBA players have been able to dictate policy. I'm just giving you an example of how it could be something more valuable than a Kobe White.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's Dame Lillard, but it's a player that wants out, and that's how the deal comes to fruition.
I loved what happened this weekend. I thought the drama with the Bucks in Brooklyn Saturday night was outstanding. The shot from Kevin Durant, that was nearly a three, but it was only a two. What KD did, I'm a KD guy anyway. I don't mind that he's salty. I don't mind. I never ripped him for going to the Warriors. Somehow in his greatness, he's supposed to not want to go to the top team where mid-level players can say they want to go to the top team.
I've never understood that.
So, I'm a KD guy to begin with, and I thought he was spectacular. Like the what he had to do.
Best pure scorer in the game.
Yeah, yeah, I think he's the best player in the game.
And I would agree with that at this point.
And I think he was before he got hurt, and I think he's reclaimed it now that he's healthy again.
I like the fact that there's new faces in these conference finals. I think it's going to be refreshing. But I think I've also missed some of the upper echelon play. Like that game, watching the Sixers play offense yesterday was painful.
Yeah.
Painful. I don't take anything away from the Hawks. Trae Young, I think, was 1 of 12 in the first half. And what I love about him is he just keeps going. You know what? He doesn't worry about it. He's going to take his shot.
Yeah.
And you have to have it. They're a fun team to watch. But watching the Sixers do what they did, I mean, that was garbage.
Can I give you a stat to start Waddlesworth, sure, then go wherever you want, on why maybe stuff that's happened in this postseason is good news for the Bulls?
Okay.
All right, and then we'll get into Waddle's world. If you want to react, 312-332-3776.
Waddle and Sylvie are with you as you return to the office, just like that annoying coworker that always talks about their cat. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Is that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Oh, let's get a little demented here. Waddle's World brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com. Oh, my goodness. /find us, member FDIC. Wintrust.com/find us, member FDIC. Not, oh, my God. Not in the middle of that. It's just wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. I was looking at, there was a goal that was scored in the Denmark-Russia game. That, oh, so, my God.
I'm so confused, yeah, over what's happening.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know what you were. I'm like, did the copy change?
That was pretty
change?
Impressive, wasn't it? Wasn't that pretty impressive?
How do you describe it?
It was a shot. I was going about
a cracker. That was a cracker.
It was a cracker. From about how far out, in about 1,000 miles an hour. That was incredible. That was a pretty incredible goal.
3-1 Denmark, right?
Yes.
That's the score, 80th minute.
Yeah.
This is the stat that I just wanted to give you guys. I'm sure you guys know this.
Oh, my God! No, just kidding.
Here are the records of 2 of the 4 conference final teams in the NBA,
right,
from last year.
Yeah.
And this is the hope for the Bulls. The Hawks were 20-47 a year ago.
And by the way, I think at the halfway point, weren't they under 500 as well?
This year. They were out of it for a little bit. 20-47. And the Suns were 34-39. And the reason they improved is they got to the bubble and they won 8 in a row. Like, they were even worse before the bubble. So the Bulls are in
and
that.
Then and then they signed Chris Paul.
Right. And that's, I'm not telling you that the Bulls are going to go from that point to this point. They have major work to be done.
Yeah.
And look, even the Knicks went from 21-45 to the 4th seed. So, look, it's Eversley and it's AK, but they have big shoes to fill compared to some of their cohorts in the Eastern and Western conferences.
Yeah.
You know, the pressure's on. I know they're not Gar Packs, and a lot of us say, thank goodness they're not Gar Packs, but look, the Knicks have done it.
Yep.
The Hawks have done it. The Suns have done it. Okay, do it.
Denmark is doing it as well. No, you're right. I agree with you. I think that there's an opportunity. You look at what the Suns did. You look at what the Knicks did. You look at what the Hawks did, and you have hope that you can find a way out of this malaise and find yourself in the postseason competing.
Yes.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. A quick story before I get to the story of the day, sports-a-roo-wise. You sent me a text this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to share any. At Saturday at 9:25 a.m., you sent me a text.
This is Fanny Abdallah.
It says, "I can't believe Grace was killed." And immediately my heart dropped. I was on the golf course, and I was checking my phone. I was like, holy mother of mercy. I'm thinking Mark Grace has been in an accident. I mean, it's not funny. I mean, like, I'm in the middle of a match, a meaningless one, because at that point, my partner Don and I had already been eliminated from postseason play. But I'm like, holy no, no. And I went to Twitter, saw nothing, went to Google.
He's looking to Google if Mark Grace has been in an accident.
And I sent to him, what happened? And then I realized it wasn't Mark. And I said, I thought you meant Mark Grace, Peaky Blinders. And then you sent me a picture of one of the characters from Peaky Blinders. Saturday morning, my heart chopped and I almost pooped myself.
So on the weekends, I catch up. I binge when the kids are out with my wife in the morning. That's when I work out and I'm able to like binge some of the Peaky Blinders stuff. Yeah. And I couldn't believe a turn of events that happened. And you know that I watch it on Saturday. I know you don't know my schedule.
I didn't know that.
Sent you it and I didn't think I needed to send it within context.
Yeah.
And you thought Mark Grace had been killed.
See, and that's why I didn't tell anybody I was watching Game of Thrones. Because you imagine if I came in every day like, hey guys, Red Wedding, huh?
Yeah.
Huh? Like, whoa. Yeah. I wonder what's going to happen next.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I've had a good time kind of watching Sylvie watch or listen to him kind of respond to what he's watching because I think it's such a great series. But that one caught me by surprise a little bit. Like, I was a little nervous.
What happened?
I'm trying to make a putt here. Oh, my God. Supreme Court unanimously sides with former college players in a dispute with the NCAA about compensation. The Supreme Court unanimously affirmed a ruling today that provides for an incremental increase in how college athletes can be compensated and also opens the door, this is the key, for future legal challenges that could deal a much more significant blow to the NCAA's current business model. Judge Neil Gorsuch wrote the court's opinion, which upheld a district court judge's decision that the NCAA was violating antitrust law by placing limits on the education-related benefits that schools can provide to the athletes. The decision allows schools to provide their athletes with unlimited compensation as long as it some way connected to their education. NCAA is not above the law, Justice Kavanaugh wrote as well. The NCAA couches its arguments for not paying student athletes in innocuous labels, but the labels cannot disguise the reality. The NCAA's business model would be flatly illegal in almost any other industry in America.
You know what's great on this? A great follow is Jay Billis.
Yeah.
He's been firing off several tweets about this. He believes the NCAA totally screwed this up. He believes Mark Emmert totally has taken advantage of the student athlete.
Yes. I mean, look,
Kavanaugh basically broke it down to this. Like, imagine the entire restaurant industry getting together and saying, hey, we're not going to pay we're going to lower the wages of our chefs because people like to eat food made by chefs that don't get paid as much.
Yeah.
Right.
And by the way,
I think the key to this was kind of a direct ruling. What it has done, and I think the Supreme Court justices alluded to as much, it's they're basically laying the groundwork or leaving the breadcrumbs for the player's side to continue their legal action, and that this will grow into a bigger situation that will benefit the players. And I was talking to someone earlier. Don't think that the schools won't have a response eventually. You know what they'll do when they have to start sharing the money with some of their players or however this works out. They are going to limit the scholarships. They will manipulate the way that they do their own business to circumvent some of these rulings that have occurred and that will occur.
That won't affect the bottom line.
Of course. Of course. So instead of having X number of scholarship players, there are a lot of guys that are on scholarship that never see the field. That's just the reality of the business. Those scholarships more than likely will be eliminated, in my humble opinion. This is how they'll get around some of the revenue issues. But it sounds like this is just step one in a series of steps that will change kind of the face of the revenue, you know, distribution model in college sports.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean,
we've been talking about it for years.
I don't know how they'll do it. Somebody smarter and more educated and more in the field.
That's not the NCAA, though.
But somebody probably has a good plan that is equitable. I don't know what that ultimately will look like. I think we're a ways away from that. I don't know what will happen. You know, I mean, we've always talked about, hey, if a car dealership wants to pay Trevor Lawrence to come in and sign autographs for 4 hours on a Saturday, and pay him $20,000, why shouldn't he be able to benefit from it?
Yeah.
So I don't know where we're going, but I think we're heading in a new direction for sure. A couple of other basic things for you. What else do I have? I saw Eli Manning is now back with the Giants in some sort of capacity. That's pretty cool. DeGrom has been cleared to start versus the Braves on Monday as well. Eli Manning has rejoined the Giants in a business operations capacity and a fan engagement role. Hi, I'm Eli Manning. Welcome to Giant Stadium.
The Mannings are very engaging. So
Peyton is doing something with Cooper, not Cooper.
Yeah,
Cooper.
Cooper.
It's Peyton and Cooper doing a college trivia show.
Oh, are they doing
Have you not seen that? I mean, the promotions are all over the place. That's what he's. I
told you I paid, what was it, $125 or $150 to watch Cooper and.
They were cutting it up, weren't they?
Right before the Super Bowl, yeah. It was a kind of a ripoff when, I mean, I didn't get my question asked, and I was just basically watching a television show on my computer.
I don't know what's going on with it.
It's an NBC quiz show called College Bowl.
Yeah.
Peyton will be joined by his older brother, Cooper.
Cooper.
Cooper is the father of five-star 2023 quarterback prospect Manning.
Oh yeah, Arch is going to be like the cream of the crop. He's going to be the prize jewel.
You know what's fun now? My future hope was Arch Manning would be a Bear, but now we have Justin Fields, and I'm hoping that for the next 15 years, I don't have to worry about.
Well, Arch Manning's a few years away from being NFL ready. But
at one time, I thought that was the most realistic way the Bears were going to get a guy.
Each show, teams of three representing some of the nation's top schools must work together to answer questions on a variety of subjects. The top two schools advance to the final, where they'll compete head to head for the Capital One College Bowl trophy and a scholarship put toward their education. See, they're not even paying them.
No,
it's going to be Alabama. Roll Tide, Auburn, Columbia University, not college, unfortunately. Otherwise, Chris and I would be involved. University of Michigan, University of Minnesota, Ole Miss, Morehouse, University of Tennessee, University of Southern California, UCLA, Virginia, Xavier, and that's it.
My wise-ass brother and I were sitting on the couch watching this, watching the commercial a couple of days ago. And my brother looks at me and goes, what did Cooper do wrong that Peyton is having to get him out of, that he's actually participating in this? I was like, I'm sure it's going to be entertaining because everything that Peyton does is somewhat entertaining.
Very, yes.
But it was kind of odd. Like, I'm looking for Peyton to be on, like, Sunday Night Football or run a football team. And
he does the show on ESPN Plus, which I love. He did one with David Letterman. This is on ESPN Plus, and it's outstanding.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, I've got some nonsense. I've got the nuttiest story of the day, and it is Monday, so Florida or Ohio.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Why is all that cocaine washing ashore in Florida? $1.2 million worth of coke, booger sugar as we call it here, washes ashore at Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. Multiple packages of booger sugar washed ashore on a beach at Cape Canaveral last month, the U.S. Space Force said. Angie Chambers, she's wildlife manager for the 45th Civil Engineer Squadron, was patrolling the beach to perform a sea turtle nesting survey. When she noticed a small package wrapped tightly in plastic and tape, she thought it could be drugs and contacted the 45th Security Forces Squadron.
Sea turtles are acting weird. What's going on over here?
Brevard County Sheriff's Office narcotics agent performed a field test on one of the packages, verified it was cocaine.
Wow.
$1.2 million worth of cocaine washing up on the shore.
That's not considered a lot, though. $1.2 million in cocaine?
No, that's personal use.
How many nights fun can you get out of 1.2?
One really good night?
Really, that's it?
Or like three okay
You're
nights?
You're an expensive date.
Like three
you
okay
You are an
nights.
Expensive date.
I love when we talk drugs and we don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Take your condoms home.
What?
Social distancing and sex in the Olympic Village. Tokyo Olympic organizers plan to give away about 150,000 condoms at next month's games, but are telling athletes to take them home rather than use them in the Olympic Village, where social distancing rules and coronavirus measures our top right door.
They're handing them out.
Take them home.
But they're saying, don't use them here. Yeah. That's like something you do with a 14-year-old during section. Yeah.
No, but it's supply and demand. Like, they already make, they know the Olympics are coming. The condoms are made. Part they got to do something with them. So, you know, you got to give them out.
The Olympics are phrasing.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. This story,
I'm getting
every 4 years when there's an Olympic Games, or every 2 years when they have an Olympic Village, it's the same story every time.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, there's a bunch of young people getting together. What are they going to do?
Condoms. The athletes.
With a lot of pressure built up. What are they going
to
do?
They like to socialize.
Wow, but this is different because they're saying not to use them. They're usually like, hey, here they are. Have a good time.
They're still handing them out, though.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why are you handing them out and telling them to use them at home?
But you couldn't use them with your own. You can use them with people from your own country? Because, like, y'all came over to
people you're quarantined with?
Yeah, people you're quarantined with.
I think I'll go for it. Like, you know, go for it.
Which leads me to the nuttiest story of the day, brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. A night with Screwball,
and
Chris.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty.
You're right, Sylvie. Let's go to Mississippi, where a Mississippi man spent 15 hours at a Waffle House after finishing last in his fantasy football league.
I saw this. I think Matthew Berry was tweeting about this over the weekend.
15 hours, 9 waffles, and 1 upset stomach later, a man in Mississippi completed his punishment for finishing last in his fantasy football league.
That to me sounds like a vacation, like a 15 hours in a waffle. I love the Waffle House. Well, I've always talked about that.
Lee Sanderlin also does as well. He lost. He live tweeted his journey fulfilling his penalty, which required him to spend 24 hours at a Waffle House in Brandon, Mississippi. For every waffle he ate, however, an hour was shaved off the clock.
Okay, so he was there 15 hours, so he ate 9 waffles, that's it?
That is correct.
I would think...
He was live tweeting this, his body looked he looked a mess.
Really? Nine waffles? I mean, maybe I'm not thinking about this.
Quitters never win, winners never quit.
They're not pancakes.
It's a big waffle.
They're plate
size. I know,
I know
what a Waffle House is. I mean, come on now. When I was a kid, we'd stop at the Waffle House, they'd stare at the Silverman family. They're like, you people ain't from around here, are ya? You know, we'd be in the Chattanooga area, you know, driving to Florida over the Christmas holiday.
Are there no Waffle Houses in Illinois?
There's, like, downstate.
Not up here.
Yeah.
There's not.
Yeah, because Cap and Jay Hood were just talking someone.
Yes.
I forget who they were talking to. Their favorite restaurant was Waffle House, and there's not one around.
We'd always drive by and go, hey, look at the Waddle House.
Oh, but it was
Waffle. Yeah, we were young.
Ugh,
we
were stupid. Do you guys want to play a game?
Yeah.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio.
Who is it?
Listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Florida Ohio is brought to you by Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming from head to toe in Florida, Ohio, and across the globe. Use promo code
Chicago. You'll get 20% off and free shipping.
And this is where you tell us that you shaved yourself
a week ago, last Sunday.
I'm sure they're also the leader in male grooming in Arlington Heights, as the mayor will join us here in
about a couple minutes.
3 minutes.
Yeah. I want to know exactly what the Bears' bid was. $4.
$4.50. A motorist named Booze arrested for drunk driving.
Yes. Tampa.
A woman named Kanisha Booze, age 34, was busted late Friday following a crash near her home.
Tampa, Florida.
She crashed into a Taco Bell sign, the very Taco Bell where she works.
Oh, wow.
She was released after posting a $1,700 bond.
She was there for her shift.
Lots of irony in the right?
Coincidence?
Is that coincidence? Police, a wobbly Booze exhibited bloodshot, watery eyes, a dazed and blank expression on her face, and the odor of an alcoholic beverage on her breath. I ask you,
listen,
Florida, Ohio.
If this was Ohio, it wouldn't have been a car. It would have been a riding lawnmower. Okay? And it would have been in a Shoney's.
Not if they work a Shoney's. The Shoney's.
Yeah, that's right.
Do they have a cowboy hat, the Shoney's? No?
We had Frisch's Big Boy, where there's the giant character. And he had the plaid overalls. That was more of a.
I'm going Ohio. I will go outside Cincy.
Even though she works at the restaurant, sometimes when you're drunk, you want a crepe case. I'm going Ohio.
Really?
Yeah. But you don't have a very high opinion of us Ohioans.
No. Kenesha Booz was arrested for drunk driving after she rammed into the Taco Bell sign where she works in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Yeah, oh, that's
right.
You were
right
there.
Next to Tampa.
You were right there.
I've been to that Taco Bell.
That's great.
Shirtless, drunk, with one shoe on.
And then you had to poop right afterwards. You don't last long.
No, I ate in the bathroom.
All right, coming up in 2 minutes, we talk to the mayor of Arlington Heights. Will he tell us how much the Bears bid to buy that property? Waddle is guessing $4. We'll get to that in two short minutes. $4.